This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And I like guys.
And I like girls.
But we hope you love this podcast.
We continue our conversation this week with some of the top 25 most influential gay, lesbian and transgender people, thanks to samesame.com.au. Joining us on the line now is one of the most influential transgender people in 2009. Good morning, Stephanie Imbruglia.
Good morning.
Same Same has had an article on you in the last couple of weeks, but could you start off by telling us a little bit about your story in 2009?
Well, it was a real honour to be put onto that list, I must say. And, yeah, it was just... Well, I've actually been the first trans person ever nominated, which was rather fabulous as well. But, I mean, the whole thing was basically generated by my fight with DFAT about passports. And it was just a really big fight that basically, in the end, I ended up winning. And it's made a real difference to the sex and gender diverse community.
Let me get this right. You were going to Thailand after living as a woman for a couple of years to get your operation, and they would not give you a passport as a female. Is that right?
Well, that's exactly right. And, I mean, it's just such an amazing thing that happened, because all my friends had gone to Thailand, if the ones that were having their surgery, and they got their passport as a matter of course. So for me, it was like a rite of passage almost to get this. So, you know, I inquired, what do I have to do and all that sort of stuff. And basically they said, oh, if you do, you know, get a letter from your doctor and yada, 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 you'll turn up and it wouldn't be a problem. And I turned up and basically the Howard government had secretly changed the law, and basically it started the day before I turned up. So I could pretty much say I was the first trans woman to ever be tripped up by this, and they picked on the wrong girl.
Exactly. And I have to say, Stephanie, I have a lot of respect for people who do fight for their rights. Congratulations on doing so, succeeding with DFAT. Can you tell us a bit about the process of fighting for this ruling?
Well, basically it was the fact that the government had knowingly put me in danger. And not just me personally, it's all other trans people, because of this law change. And I originally thought it was because of, you know, trying to close a loophole for same-sex marriage. But basically what they said was that it was a terrorism thing. So apparently just because I dress and am a female, though I have the wrong passport, apparently I'm a terrorist.
Very interesting. One of the things is that other options is you could travel on possibly a document of identity, because that doesn't state gender on it. But I believe that causes problems as well.
Well, that would put more of a spotlight on me. So they gave me an option of that. But basically, you know, I was wanting my female passport, and I was either forced to travel on a male passport or a document that wouldn't guarantee me entry into a country. Now, I was going for my surgery. I was being put under so much pressure when it was the most vulnerable time of my life. You know, going there to finally affirm who I really was, and then having all this drama going on. And it was really scary what the government put me under. Because what basically the whole reason that, you know, the trouble that they were putting me in was that I was open to face strip searches, abuse, harassment, and, you know, even arrest, you know. And where would they put a girl like me under arrest? And where would they detain me?
Mm.
Right? Now, would they put me in a prison? Like, I mean, that's just idiotic, but to put me in a prison of the sex that's on my passport?
I believe when you're going for the passport application process, the person you were dealing with also insisted on calling you by the title of sir.
Well, this was when I applied for the passport, and, you know, the guy straight away said, no, you can't have one. I go, well, what are you talking about? Here's my documentation, here's my paperwork, and no, you can't have one, sir. And he kept saying it, and, you know, I asked for, you know, I want written proof that, you know, what's going on. And I was so upset, you know, because it was like, what's going on? It was like a twilight zone, you know, because I just wasn't expecting it. And anyway, he showed me a piece piece of paper that said, you know, basically the law had been changed. And he was just so rude, and that's, you know, one of the things I was fighting as well. But, you know, basically, when I went to Phuket, into the airport, I was actually really scared. So, you know, when you normally go to a new country, you're all excited, oh, I'm in a new country. Well, I wasn't. I was petrified because of what I hoped wouldn't happen that actually did happen. And I went into the immigration hall, and there was this big burly guy, customs guy, and with all the feminine charm I could muster, I said, hello, you know. Anyway, he looked at me and he looked at the passport and he was fine, but he looked at me, looked at the passport, and he said, he suddenly changed his disposition, and he said, top of his lungs, male or female, in front of everyone. So, and everyone turned. It was like a couple of playloads of people, and here I was being publicly outed for no reason.
Wow.
Very scared then.
This must have been, as you said before, all your friends have kind of gone through this process and gone to Thailand, and it's just been a smooth running process and a rite of passage.
Well, it's been a long-standing law that's been in place because over 20 years ago, a girl was in a similar predicament to me, and she did get arrested in Thailand. Now, the government realised, whoops, we can't have this happen, so they made the law so that trans people could have a one-year interim passport so to be not placed in this danger. So what the government had actually done was contravene a UN Charter Chapter 12 to give their citizens a safe passage. Actually gone against the United Nations in doing this secretive law change.
You've actually now had that reversed again, is that correct?
Well, when I came back from Thailand and, you know, had that drama, I got in finally, which was really good. At the end of it, I came back and, you know, I joined Sex and Gender Education and teamed up with Dr. Tracy O'Keefe from there, and that's a lobbying group. And basically, we lobbied the government, and it took about 2 years or so. And so what happened was, of course, we had to change of government in the meantime. And anyway, they seemed to be pretty good at negotiations and stuff like that. So what transpired from everything was that first I was given a written, unreserved written apology for how I was treated and the position they put me in. And then what they did was they changed the law back so that if you're travelling for surgery, you can have the appropriate passport. But we went for a whole gamut of extra stuff. So basically, we not only put it to how it used to be, but we've improved so much. And one of the biggest things that we did was that we got them to change the term transgender and replace it with sex and gender diverse.
Oh, okay.
Now that's huge because you got male, you got female, and you got about 100 variants in between. You got intersex, you got trans, you got all sorts of variants, not just trans. So what that's done is open it up to everybody. So that was a huge victory in itself. We got them to change a lot of their training material. We also got them to change, because we just usually need a letter from a doctor, but now we've got that expanded to psychologists and psychiatrists and all sorts of different diverse sort of doctors versus just, you know, a doctor, a medical professional. So that was pretty good. Basically, they said that, you know, should a person turn up to the passport office with a birth certificate that has no sex on it, they will be able to basically issue a passport with no sex. Now, what, that sounds a bit funny, but basically, if someone is born intersex, you don't know if they're male or female at the time.
Yes.
So sometimes the parents, well, now the parents have the option of not putting a sex on, so and to let that person work out who they really are, and that's a good thing for the future. So that was another great thing that we had.
Is there still, we hear a lot on Joy 94.9 about gay and lesbian law reforms. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done when it comes to transgender or intersex people.
Oh, there's all sorts of things. I mean, you know, it's all one step at a time, and we all know that. And you know, like we're all hoping for same-sex marriage as well, and that's, you know, that's what would be a great day when that comes to be. And it's obvious that it will happen, but it's just a matter of when. And but there's a lot to do.
Would you say the incidents of 2009, in a way, have been a blessing in disguise because it's given you this opportunity to become a spokesperson, represent your community?
I don't really look at it that way, but basically I just stood up for my rights, and in doing so, I'm actually quite proud of myself for fighting. But basically, it was it was with the help of Tracy O'Keefe, because she was the political brains behind the whole thing. But basically, it's like, you know, it's just just proud of myself for standing up, you know, and making a big difference to the community. And there was one other thing that I didn't say, that, you know, if a person can't have surgery, they're now allowed to have their passport as well. So that was another big victory that I forgot to mention. So it's you know, I just feel like I've made a real difference.
And speaking of political brains, Stephanie, how do you feel about Barack Obama appointing Amanda Simpson the first transgendered person to post?
I did not know that. That is fabulous.
There you go. I think you're setting a trend. It's rippling through to America.
And yeah, I think people worldwide are becoming more open and you know, seeing good examples of just everyday people living their everyday life who you know, well, okay, well, these people are just normal people. And I think over time, you know, and maybe sooner than we think, so much is going to happen, you know, and so much change and so much equality will finally come to everybody.
Definitely. One thing talking about America as well, and something I read about you, Stephanie, is I believe 9/11 had a big impact on you deciding to make your transition. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting story, that. I mean, I always knew something was, you know, wrong with the inverted commas and that something was up, and I nearly transitioned when I was 21. And anyway, it was like the universe was saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. So what happened was I just went into complete denial, even though I knew Stephanie was always there. I just, you know, put the lid on it with complete denial. And anyway, so then the week of September 11 happened. It was a whole lot of stuff that happened that week. But basically, I went, oh my God! It just so affected me. I just realised that life was short, and you know, you've got to live your life no matter what anyone thinks. And it gave me the strength to be who I really was.
Stephanie, one last question before we let you go. If you could say there was one misconception that the broader community still has for people like yourself, what would it be?
That basically that transsexuality isn't a sexuality. It's about to do with one's physical sex and one's gender. And sexuality is separate to that. So you got a lot of trans or sex and gender diverse people that are bi, straight and gay. And so sexuality is separate. And I suppose the other one is that, you know, this is not a choice. We were born this way. The old adage of being born in the wrong body is so true. My brain has always been female, and all I did was correct a birth defect.
So basically just bring the body in line with who you truly are.
That's absolutely true.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and we look forward to hearing about the more influences you make for the community in the future.
Thanks a lot. See ya.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And that was one of our podcasts, but I still like guys.
I still like girls.
Boys better though.
I don't know about that. Listen to another podcast and find out.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.